Good morning, and welcome to Tech News Briefing, your essential daily dive into the most compelling developments across the technology landscape. I'm Arjiv, and joining me today is our intrepid reporter, Arohi, ready to unpack the stories shaping our world. On this day in history, May 12, 1957, a team at MIT's Lincoln Laboratory successfully demonstrated Project Whirlwind, the first real-time, online interactive computing system. This groundbreaking achievement laid foundational groundwork for modern graphical user interfaces and interactive computing as we know it today. From those early interactive systems to the complex AI models of today, the pace of innovation continues to accelerate. Today, we're covering a wide array of fascinating news, drawing insights from leading tech publications like Ars Technica, Hacker News, MIT Technology Review, TechCrunch, and others. We've got everything from Nobel laureates weighing in on AI's economic impact, to innovative new AI interaction models, surprising applications of machine learning, and critical updates on cybersecurity and software. Arohi, let's jump right into perhaps one of the most significant overarching themes: the real-world implications of AI, especially on the workforce and the economy.
Absolutely. A major story generating a lot of buzz comes from Nobel-winning economist Darren Acemoglu, who has been quite vocal about his reservations regarding the current trajectory of AI development. Just months before receiving his Nobel Prize in Economics in 2024, Acemoglu published a paper that challenged some of Silicon Valley's optimistic narratives. He warns about three critical aspects of AI we need to watch. First, he argues that the current focus on automation AI is leading to excessive job displacement without creating enough new, high-quality jobs to compensate. This isn't just about factory workers. He points to white-collar roles as well. Second, he emphasizes the potential for AI to concentrate power and wealth further, exacerbating inequality if the benefits are not widely shared. He believes that a narrow set of companies and individuals currently control the technology, which could lead to monopolistic tendencies. And third, Acemoglu suggests that AI's design priorities are often misaligned with societal needs, focusing on optimizing existing processes rather than fostering truly transformative, human-complementing innovations. He advocates for complementary AI, which enhances human capabilities and creates new tasks, rather than simply replacing them. It's a powerful counter-narrative to the dominant tech discourse.
That's a profound perspective, especially coming from an economist of his stature. It really challenges the idea that all technological progress is inherently good. So, if this Nobel laureate is warning about job displacement, how are companies actually responding or adapting to this shift right now? Are we seeing immediate impacts on employment?
We are, and it's quite direct in some cases. General Motors, for instance, recently laid off hundreds of its IT workers. The reason? To hire individuals with stronger AI-centric skills. This isn't just a simple workforce reduction, it's a strategic pivot. GM is looking for new hires in areas like AI-native development, data engineering and analytics, cloud-based engineering, agent and model development, prompt engineering, and new AI workflows. This move clearly illustrates the rapid upskilling and restructuring demand that AI is imposing on traditional industries, highlighting the growing skills gap in the existing workforce. It's a stark example of Acemoglu's points playing out in real time.
That's a significant shift for a company like GM. And it's not just about hiring new talent, but how current employees are interacting with these new AI tools, isn't it? I hear there's a term called token maxing surfacing, particularly at Amazon. What exactly is that?
Token maxing is a fascinating, and somewhat concerning, new phenomenon. It refers to Amazon employees leveraging an internal AI tool to automate non-essential tasks. The concern isn't just about automation, but the pressure to demonstrate AI tool usage. Employees are finding ways to use the AI for trivial or easily manageable tasks simply to meet internal metrics for AI adoption, rather than genuinely integrating it into complex, value-adding workflows. This suggests a disconnect between management's push for AI adoption and how employees perceive its immediate utility or are being incentivized to use it. It's almost a performative use of AI, rather than truly transformative.
That's quite insightful. It shows how company culture can sometimes create unintended consequences with new tech rollouts. Now, still on the topic of AI's economic ripple effect, what about the very foundational skill of coding? If AI is increasingly writing code, what does that mean for programming languages like Python?
It's a question many developers are grappling with. If AI writes your code, why use Python, or any specific language, for that matter? The article points out that AI models are becoming incredibly proficient at generating code in various languages based on natural language prompts. This doesn't necessarily mean Python is obsolete, but it shifts the focus. Developers might spend less time on boilerplate code and syntax, and more on prompt engineering, understanding the underlying logic, debugging AI-generated code, and architecting solutions. The emphasis moves from rote coding to higher-level design and critical evaluation. It suggests a future where programming is less about remembering specific language constructs and more about understanding computational problems and guiding AI to solve them effectively. This could, in turn, reduce the barrier to entry for some aspects of programming, while elevating the skills required for more complex problem-solving.
A fundamental shift in what it means to be a programmer, indeed. And to round out this section on the economic and workforce impact of AI, there's a startup making a rather bold statement by offering a no-AI summer internship. That seems counterintuitive in this climate, doesn't it?
It certainly does, and it highlights a growing sentiment among some in the tech community. TextBlaze, a Y Combinator-backed startup, is actively hiring for what they're calling the Blaze No AI Summer Internship. This isn't a rejection of AI entirely, but a conscious decision to focus on human creativity, fundamental problem-solving skills, and deep understanding of systems without relying on AI as a primary tool for development during the internship period. It's a fascinating experiment, suggesting that some companies recognize the value of developing core skills that aren't mediated by AI, perhaps to foster truly innovative thinking or to understand foundational principles before overlaying AI solutions. It also subtly pushes back against the notion that every task must be AI-enhanced, suggesting a place for traditional, human-centric development.
A thoughtful counterpoint in a world increasingly dominated by AI. Moving from the economic impacts, let's delve into the very nature of how we interact with AI. There's a company called Thinking Machines aiming to change the fundamental way AI models operate, making them more like a phone call than a text chain. What's the innovation here?
This is a really interesting development in AI interaction models. Currently, every AI model you've used works sequentially. You input, it processes, then it responds. Thinking Machines is trying to build a model that processes your input and generates a response. Imagine having a conversation where the AI isn't waiting for you to finish your sentence before it even starts thinking about a reply, but rather it's listening and talking at the same time, much like a natural human conversation. This approach, which they detail further in their blog, Interaction Models, aims to create a more fluid, dynamic, and less latency-prone interaction experience. The goal is to make AI conversations feel more natural, reducing awkward pauses and improving the overall user experience, particularly in real-time applications.
That sounds like a significant leap towards more intuitive AI. It almost addresses the uncanny valley of conversation where current AIs often fall short. But as AI models become more sophisticated, how do we ensure they're genuinely performing well and not just appearing to? There's talk about benchmark hacking. What does that entail?
Benchmark hacking, as discussed by Poolside AI in their blog, Through the Looking Glass, refers to the practice where AI models are specifically optimized to perform exceptionally well on particular benchmarks or evaluation tests, sometimes without necessarily improving their general intelligence or real-world applicability. It's like a student studying specifically for a test, knowing the answers to those questions, but not truly mastering the subject matter. This can lead to inflated performance metrics that don't reflect an AI's true capabilities or robustness in novel situations. Researchers are becoming increasingly aware of this, highlighting the need for more diverse, challenging, and less predictable evaluation methods to truly gauge AI progress. It's a critical challenge as we rely more on benchmarks to measure AI's advancement.
An important reminder that metrics can sometimes be gamed. Now, let's shift gears to some fascinating real-world applications of AI. Potholes are a perennial problem for drivers and city planners. How is AI tackling this issue?
This is a truly practical application that could save municipalities significant money and improve road safety. Fleet management company Samsara has developed an AI model designed to detect different kinds of potholes and, crucially, gauge how fast they're deteriorating. By equipping vehicles with cameras and sensors, the AI can continuously monitor road conditions, identify potholes by their size, depth, and specific characteristics, and even track their growth over time. This data can then be used by local authorities to prioritize repairs, allocate resources more efficiently, and proactively address road damage before it becomes more severe or dangerous. It's a smart use of connected car data and machine learning for infrastructure maintenance.
That's fantastic. An AI that actively contributes to public infrastructure. It's a far cry from token maxing. And speaking of successful AI applications, a startup called Vappy recently achieved a significant valuation after a huge win with Amazon Rain. Tell us about that.
Vappy, an AI voice startup, has soared to a $500 million valuation after being chosen by Amazon Ring over 40 rival platforms. Vappy specializes in building AI agents that can handle customer support and sales calls, providing incredibly natural and efficient voice interactions. Their enterprise business has seen exponential growth, reportedly increasing tenfold since early 2025, as more companies look to AI to automate and enhance their customer service operations. This signals a strong market confidence in high-quality AI voice solutions and indicates a massive shift towards AI-powered customer interactions, moving beyond simple chatbots to truly conversational AI agents that can manage complex inquiries.
That's rapid growth for Vappy, certainly demonstrating the demand for advanced AI voice. In moving from enterprise applications to everyday content, the classic news aggregator Digg is attempting to come back, but with an AI twist, isn't it?
Yes, Digg, a name many will remember from the early days of social news aggregation, is trying to reinvent itself as an AI news aggregator. In an email to beta testers, the company stated its goal is to track the most influential voices in a space, and to surface the news that's actually worth paying attention to. The idea is that instead of relying on human curation or simple algorithms, Digg's AI will intelligently identify and prioritize content based on influence and perceived value, aiming to cut through the noise and deliver truly relevant stories. It's an interesting evolution for a platform that has seen its share of ups and downs, betting on AI to bring it back into relevance in a crowded news landscape.
It's a competitive space, so AI could give Digg an edge. Finally, on the application front, we have a more personal story. Someone used AI to build a tool to figure out what was waking them up at night. That's a unique and very relatable use case.
It really is, and it demonstrates the accessibility of AI for personal problem solving. This individual leveraged AI to create a custom tool to analyze patterns and factors that might be disrupting their sleep. While the specifics of the tool aren't fully detailed in the summary, the core idea is using AI's pattern recognition capabilities to process various data points. Perhaps ambient noise levels, temperature, sleep tracking data, or even personal diary entries, to identify correlations and potential causes for nocturnal awakenings. It's a great example of how AI isn't just for big tech or enterprise. It can be a powerful, personalized tool for improving daily life, even for something as personal as sleep quality.
A fascinating use of AI, proving its versatility beyond the boardroom. Now, let's shift to some critical updates concerning tech infrastructure and security, starting with a concerning report about a data center's water usage.
This is a significant story with environmental implications. A data center, whose location wasn't specified in the summary, reportedly guzzled an astonishing 30 million gallons of water over several months, and shockingly, nobody noticed for a considerable period. This incident highlights the immense and often overlooked resource demands of large-scale computing infrastructure, especially with the rapid expansion of AI and its intensive processing needs. Data centers require massive amounts of water for cooling, and this case brings to light a lack of proper monitoring or accountability. The article questions whether AI itself can save us from the AI industry's endless thirst for water, suggesting the outlook isn't good without significant changes in design and oversight. It's a stark reminder of the environmental footprint of our digital world.
That's a sobering thought. The very tools meant to optimize everything contributing to such a colossal waste. Speaking of critical infrastructure, cybersecurity remains paramount. Instructure, the maker of the widely used Canvas school software, has struck a deal with hackers who breached it not once, but twice. What are the details?
This is a highly unusual and concerning development in cybersecurity. Instructure announced that it reached an agreement with the hackers responsible for breaching their systems twice. However, the company provided no guarantees that the hackers would actually uphold their end of the bargain, specifically that they wouldn't release the stolen data or would otherwise keep their word. This type of deal is incredibly risky. It raises significant questions about the ethics and effectiveness of negotiating with cyber criminals, and more importantly, it offers little comfort to the users whose data may have been compromised. It underscores the challenges companies face when dealing with persistent and sophisticated attackers and highlights a potential shift in how some organizations might attempt to manage data breaches post-factum.
A risky gambit indeed, with potentially huge ramifications for trust. On a related note, the FCC recently made a decision regarding foreign routers. What's the latest there?
The FCC had previously moved to ban certain foreign-made routers, citing national security concerns. Now, they've slightly relaxed that ban, issuing a waiver that allows existing foreign-manufactured routers and drones to continue receiving software updates until 2029. This extension provides 2 more years beyond the initial cutoff. The decision likely aims to prevent a sudden technological vacuum or security risks that could arise from immediately bricking or discontinuing support for a vast array of existing devices. It's a pragmatic move to manage the transition away from potentially insecure hardware while giving consumers and businesses time to adapt.
A practical extension, preventing a sudden disruption. And for those running Linux, there's another security alert, isn't there?
Yes, unfortunately, Linux has been hit by its second severe vulnerability in as many weeks. This underscores the constant vigilance required in open source software. While the specifics of this new vulnerability aren't detailed in the summary, the advice is clear. Production version patches are coming online, and users should install them pronto. It's a critical reminder for system administrators and users alike to keep their systems updated, especially for a widely used operating system like Linux, which forms the backbone of countless servers and devices. Prompt patching is the best defense against exploitation.
Timely advice for all Linux users. Finally, let's touch on connected devices and software updates. Waymo, the self-driving car company, has issued a recall. What's causing this?
Waymo has issued a software recall for its robo-taxis to address a problem with how the vehicles interact with flooded areas. The current software makes the robo-taxis overly cautious around standing water, potentially leading to unnecessary stops or erratic behavior in challenging weather conditions. This isn't a safety flaw in the traditional sense, but an operational issue that impacts efficiency and reliability. Waymo states that a final remedy is in the works, indicating they're actively developing a more robust software update to better handle diverse environmental conditions, especially those involving water on roads. It shows the continuous learning curve for autonomous vehicles in navigating unpredictable real-world scenarios.
An important refinement for self-driving tech, as it learns to navigate our complex world. Arohi, thank you for those comprehensive updates.
My pleasure.
And before we sign off, here's a surprising tech fact for you. Did you know that the first computer hard disk drive, introduced by IBM in 1956, weighed over a ton and could store a mere 5 megabytes of data? To put that in perspective, a single high-resolution photograph today can easily exceed that storage capacity, fitting comfortably on a device that weighs practically nothing. What a journey technology has been on. That's all the time we have for today's tech news briefing. Thank you for tuning in. Join us next time for more essential insights into the ever-evolving world of technology. I'm Arjav, and we wish you a productive and informed day ahead.